Thanks, Archie. Let's pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will send your Spirit to work in our hearts, that your word may be written there. And we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, imagine you came into chapel today and if we handed around sticky notes and said, write down the very thing that you are eager to do in ministry. What would you have written? After the Apostle Paul had been preaching for 14 years, preaching in city squares and from door to door, in prisons and planting churches, he went up to Jerusalem and he met with Peter, James and John, and they confirmed that they were all preaching the same gospel message. And then they asked one thing of Paul. What was it? That he remember the poor. And Paul's response, what was it? This was the very thing that I was eager to do. Now, I wonder if that sits a little uncomfortably with us, because I'm not sure when I last went to an ordination or a clergy conference, when the last word was, remember the poor. Again, I'm not sure the last time I spoke to someone in ministry who said that the thing that they were eager to do in their ministry was to remember the poor. Are we good at sending missionary endeavors, but are we overlooking part of biblical Christianity? So I want to look at, are our priorities different to Paul's? I want to look this morning with you at what was Paul's motivation to remember the poor, what he did about it, and then how we can remember the poor. So firstly, what do you think was Paul's motivation to remember the poor? Well, let's think this through. Where was Paul in Galatians 2? Well, he was in Jerusalem. What was the situation amongst the believers in Jerusalem at this time? Well, there was persecution, which likely brought some economic hardship. And Acts 13 reminds us that the church in Antioch sent help through Barnabas and Paul to Jerusalem because Agabus predicted a severe famine. So unlike us here in Sydney, Paul and the apostles were surrounded by the poor. Even so, it is very easy to ignore the poor, to harden your hearts against the poor. We know that the Romans didn't care about the poor. The Jews, well, they had the law of Moses and the gleaning laws and the beautiful examples of Ruth. They had the prophets crying out to them to care for the widow and the orphan and the alien. But God condemned them for not sharing their food with the hungry, and for not providing the poor wanderer with shelter, and sent them into exile. So Israel knew the law but didn't keep it. So if the Romans didn't care for the poor, and if the Jews didn't care for the poor, why was Paul eager to care for the poor? Well, the answer is he met Jesus. He met Jesus. He says, Jesus who gave himself for us to redeem for us, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself, people that are his very own, eager to do what is good, or zealous for good works, as the ESV says. Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that we, by his poverty, might become rich. He met Jesus, whose first words in Luke's gospel were, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor." The poor were top of mind for Jesus. In fact, Luke relates how the Son of God was born into a poor family, with Mary herself exclaiming, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the low state of his servant. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." We then, of course, see this pattern worked out in Jesus' ministry as he shows God's love for the poor and the outcast in his ministry. And Paul, like anyone who has met Jesus, found that though he was the worst of sinners, he was washed, he was sanctified, he was justified, he was adopted, and he found that the law, instead of being written just on a tablet of stone, was written on his heart. And he was eager to remember the poor. Like Zacchaeus, who was so overwhelmed by the grace of God towards him when Jesus visited his house, that his reaction was to give half of his possessions to the poor. Or we think of the early church in Acts 4, we read that God's grace was so powerfully at work in the believers that there were no needy persons among them. What the law was powerless to do, God did by sending his Son and sending his Spirit to work in his people. And as the gospel of the kingdom was preached around the Mediterranean, churches sprung up characterized by care for the poor. So it's no surprise that Jesus will say at the last judgment, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." Because concern for the poor springs necessarily out from believing the gospel. So in Galatians 2, when Paul met the elders in Jerusalem surrounded by poverty, of course he was eager to remember the poor. And I think what the apostles were saying to Paul here is, go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and as you go, remember the pressing issue of the poor here in Jerusalem and Judea. I think that what they are actually asking for was the first international aid collection. I think the apostles presuppose here that the Gentile churches will work together across racial and geographical divisions to provide aid for the poor. So here we have Paul's motivation, Jesus. And what does Paul do? Well, we have his response set out in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, don't we? He writes that he sends envoys to the churches in Macedonia and Achaia and to those on another continent, and he gives himself to a multi-year, multi-church, international, interracial collection of funds. Of course, all this went hand in hand with the preaching of the gospel. In fact, it's the necessary outworking of the preaching of the gospel. And at one point, remember, Paul even left off his evangelistic mission to personally carry funds. We read in Romans 15:25 that he was planning this mission to Spain to preach the gospel where it had not yet been heard. And he says, "Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem." So what does he do? He leaves off his evangelistic mission to carry aid. Because when the saints are suffering, it is time to care for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, says Jesus. It's time to care, even if they're on another continent. Spain, Jerusalem. And at the end of his letter to the Galatians, what does he write? He says, Galatians 6:10, "So as we have the opportunity," and gosh, do we have opportunities being Australians in this generation, "as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of believers." And that's like a summary of Paul's theology of caring for the poor. We see it expanded, of course, later in Timothy and letters to Timothy and Titus. We see that Christians are instructed to care for the members of their own family, otherwise they're worse than unbelievers, and then for their relatives, and then for widows and orphans, and as we have opportunity, for all. And this concern for the poor was implemented across the early church. so that by the year 250, we know that bishops were taking responsibility for coordinating distribution of funds to the poor. We have a letter from Bishop Cornelius of Rome around the year 250, in which he mentions in passing the various ministers and activities of the church, including 46 presbyters, 7 deacons, and so on, and above 1,500 widows and persons in distress, all of whom are supported by the grace and loving kindness of the Master. Isn't that amazing? 1,500 widows being supported by the churches in Rome, coordinated by the bishop there, because there needed to be some coordination. It was beyond what any local church could do. So it was coordinated at a larger level. That's also why Paul, as an apostle, coordinated this collection amongst multiple churches, which was then distributed through the elders in Jerusalem. And we could be a little facetious and say elders, sometimes called bishops. And I'm being facetious because it's true that bishops throughout history have been those who have taken the lead in coordinating often care for the poor. So if I do a cheeky jump from here from the Bishop of Rome to our bishops in Sydney today, because I want to get to us and how we can remember the poor. 1934, we saw in the video, we were reminded in 1934, in response to the Great Depression here in Sydney, Archbishop Howard Mole founded the Archbishop's Winter Appeal. Then 1971, Archbishop Lone, when he visited Ethiopia and saw poverty there, he established the Overseas Relief and Aid Fund. And then in 2001, Archbishop Harry Goodhue, when he visited overseas and saw that those in poor churches couldn't afford theological education, he established the Overseas Ministry Fund. And then in 2010, Archbishop Peter Jensen restructured these funds and brought them under the new name of Anglican Aid. That's a brief history of Anglican Aid. So these are structures. This structure was set up by our diocesan leaders to be able to care for the poor effectively, because it's too big for any one parish to do. And in 2022, Anglican Aid handed over its local work to Anglicare so that we could focus on caring for the poor around the world in the poorest places of the world. Now, to identify objectively the poorest places in the world, we've used the Oxford Multidimensional Poverty Index, which effectively gives a percentage of those in countries living in very significant poverty. So I've put up a map here that you won't be able to see the numbers probably, but out of the bottom 20 countries, they're all in Africa, the poorest countries. But all African countries aren't the same. So the countries in red are the poorest countries, and there's a big difference from country to country. So in South Africa, 2.5% of people are in significant poverty. Compare that to South Sudan, where 58% of people are in significant poverty. So if we want to help the poor, the poorest of the poor, we're not going to focus on South Africa or Kenya, but we're going to focus on the countries marked in red. And we even have this information down to local regional areas. So you can also imagine that these countries have churches spread right across them. But if we wanted to support those churches, how would we do it? Who do we get on the phone to? Well, this is where, by the grace of God, the Anglican Church actually shines. Because right across these countries, most of these countries, there are Anglican churches spread across, and they're all coordinated under bishops and archbishops, so you can get on the phone to someone and say, we want to support you, we want to help. You can't actually get on the phone with someone with independent churches or the Baptist Church or whatever. It's an advantage we have. So here on this slide, we see that these are the people that we are focusing on as Anglican Aid. Although we work in over 30 countries, we're focusing on supporting the Anglican Church of Congo, the Anglican Church of Tanzania, Anglican Church in Madagascar, South Sudan, Burundi, and also a coalition in PNG, which is also falling into greater poverty. So I want to hone in on one country as an example on the next slide. We see a hint of this country. It is a country, one of the poorest five countries in the world, a country of 100 million people, racked with corruption, overrun by 150 armed groups, a country where the innocent are routinely slaughtered, where women are frequently raped, where children grow up in malnutrition, where only 3% of 10-year-olds can read because there aren't enough schools. And this country is the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And it's home to over 1,000 churches, where the Anglican Church runs 700 schools and 90 health centres. Starting from 1985, CMS missionaries have served there in Congo, including Peter and Marie Dawson in the Diocese of Kindu. And that's where in 2005 the dauntless Malcolm and Elizabeth Richards went and helped set up a Bible college there in Kindu in the middle of the jungle. And this was funded, has been funded over the last 17 years through Anglican Aid, preparing dozens of men for and women for ministry. Now, the Archbishop of Congo said to us, it's hard to get good candidates for our Bible college because the standard of education in this country is so low. And people in general can't move forward because they're not educated. So here are two of their better schools. So they said to us, could you help renovate some of our schools? Well, so far we've renovated six of that diocese's 119 schools. This is a diocese where the government has pretty much no schools. The church are providing all of the schools, all the health services. And now children are streaming in, thirsty for an education. And these people are Christians. And this is building up the future of the church and also providing trained people for ministry, building up the nation. And these people are overflowing with thanks to God and to supporters from across the seas in Sydney for their support in remembering the poor. So this is part of what remembering the poor looks like now for us in Sydney Diocese. And on the next slide, we see that Anglican Aid is now supporting across Congo 17 Bible colleges across 14 dioceses, and educating right now about 450 full-time Bible college students to serve right across that country of Congo, that region. We've also been advising on curriculum development, and we've been working on these colleges on building projects, construction projects, improving their buildings. There's a picture of me with some of the students outside Goma Bible College. Hannah's also been there. You can talk to her about this. Brothers and sisters, do be thankful for the facilities that you have at Moore College. Make the most of them and remember the poor and our brothers and sisters around the world who struggle to even get a theological education or make ends meet. And to keep your hearts tender towards the poor, I've got a slide with a QR code. If you want to take out your phone and scan that and sign up to get our updates from Anglican Aid. We send news from what God is doing around the world through Anglican Aid, or you can see Matt or Hannah later, so that you can learn about ministry amongst the poor and pray with knowledge and give with confidence. When the Apostle Paul went to Jerusalem, and he conferred with the elders. They agreed they were preaching the same gospel, but they asked him to remember the poor. As brothers and sisters, as Sydney Anglicans, we are remembering the poor, and Anglican Aid is helping us to do this. So I ask each of you, will you follow Paul as he follows Christ? And will you continue to remember the poor? Thank you.